Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Man, I love the Guts Church, don't you? Man, it has changed my life. I'll just tell you, I'm so appreciative. It's so many great people. It's funny, I was playing golf recently with a couple guys, and both of them, they invited me to play, so I went and played, and they were both 75 years old, very successful guys in town. And we got to the fourth tee box, and the one said, you know, there's a reason we wanted to invite you to play. And I said, yeah, it was a little odd. It came out of the blue, and I didn't really know them that well, just was acquainted with them. And they said, we just want to know, what do you attribute your success to? I'm like, and I'm talking to two guys that are like kajillionaires, and I was thinking, okay, we're not hand to mouth, we're not month to month. I said it's the greatest group of people on the planet, and I want you to know that. That's the key to everything. The key to everything is the purpose of God that rests upon your life, and I want you to know that at the core of this church, it's that we're ministers together. You know, used to be in business, used to be in ministry in the church. There was this genius at the top of the pyramid, and then the pyramid with thousands of little helpers. And that's never been Guts Church, has it, Sandy? Man, it's all been people. I was looking at Barry up here, Barry Dick that was up here, and I just thought, man, you know the hundreds of thousands of lives that man's touched with just his service to the Lord. And that's what I bought into. And it's just amazing. And I know as a church, we have to create and build programs that disciple people and get people in a route of discipleship in their lives. And that's really the ultimate goal here, is to make disciples. But I'll tell you, it's not just the programs. It's not just to get it on you. It's to get it in you. It's got to be a part of your DNA. Because the Bible says that when the storm builds and it vehemently beats against your house, that's what's going to happen. You know, David even said, it rains on the just and the unjust alike. You know, the age-old question, why do bad things happen to good people? It's like bad things happen to good and bad people. Good things happen. You know, I would conversely say, why do good things happen to bad people? You know, I mean, it's because it rains on the just and the unjust alike. And in God's eyes and God's heart, man, we're all sheep, just some are lost. And aren't you thankful you're not lost anymore? Aren't you thankful that you're in the fold now? Aren't you thankful you're in God's house now? Man, that we dwell in his house forever. Everybody say forever. Forever. See, and it's hard for our minds because we can't box that in. But it's not just about creating and building programs to disciple people. It's about getting a disciple mentality into people, where it's a part of your DNA, where people ask you to do something and you'll be like, that's the most crazy question you could ever ask me. Do you know who I am? Do you know what I'm about? I think that often when people will talk to me, and there's people that I guess because I'm used to be on television and on the internet, that people feel like they know you so they could say things to you or to me, and they'll say something and I'll be like, whoa, wait a minute, you don't know me. You don't know what I'll just drop it at that. But the point is that the DNA of heaven is on the inside of you now. See, that we're citizens, our citizenship is in heaven. That's not our legal citizenship, our document citizenship. That's our soul citizenship. That's at the core of our DNA. It's in our chromosomes now. And we have to understand that. And the Bible just says real simple that we have to go into all the world and make disciples, make them. Man, to build people up, to encourage people enough and to constrain and to help people enough. And man, in our relationships, we got to build guardrails for people that, man, you know, we don't want them going over the cliff. We don't want them going into the ditch. And that's really the core mission. That's the business that God's in. If you'll say, well, what business is Travis in? Travis is in the blank business. And he could tell you what business that he's in. But if I'd ask you, what business is God in? God's in the blank business. What is it? Well, God's in the disciple-making business. That's what God's in. So everything we do, everything that we're about, everything the church is, everything funnels to that one simple, everybody say simple. Say it again. That one simple truth to make disciples. And it's so hard because you can't fix people. And I was talking about a relative just recently that was an alcoholic and bigoted, and he had prejudice in his life. And the person said, another relative said, well, you can't fix somebody like that. And I'm thinking in my head, that's the problem. We're trying to fix people and you can't fix people. The only thing that helps people is the healing power of God. God heals people. Man, God, we could fix machinery. We can fix problems. But people have to be healed. Write that down. People have to be healed. That's why the love that we have isn't just a phileo or a companion or a fraternal love, but there's an agape love, a God kind of love. Man, why is Sandy here? Why every week in and week out for services? Because it's more than just a friend kind of love here that she has for people in this room. It's a God kind of love. It's he'll never leave you nor forsake you kind of love. Are you guys with me on this? Are you here? Because these Wednesday nights, I'm just telling you, I'm just laying some groundwork and some framework. And for some of you guys, I think it's going to be good because it's a refresher. For others of you, you're going, oh my gosh, I think he's right. This isn't going to be the first time you've ever heard this stuff. But I'm telling you, you're going to hear it and say, I think this is right. This just seems right within my soul. Have you ever had those kind of moments in church where you'll hear something and you'll think, man, this just seems right? See, because I'll just tell you where I'm going. The summer of 2018 for me is there's a simple verse that will run and not grow weary, will walk and not faint, and the third part of it is will mount up with wings as eagles. See, what if that's the summer of 2018 for us? What if we uncage, unlock, unstrap the eagles in this room? I mean, think about it. See, I think right now there's a little bit of constraint. We built a great habitat, community, providing experience, pretty well fed. How many of you guys feel like you're pretty well fed spiritually? Can I see your hands? Man, I don't think you're going to dry up and blow away anytime soon, spiritually. But see, we could be missing the mark with this as well. I think it's time to flip the switch and let people soar. I hope this fits into the last 2 weeks because on Wednesday nights, because in my heart it does. And the way this works with this making disciples, can I just be real simple? We are making disciples who make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And there's people who go, man, there's 7 billion people. We can't do this one at a time. Au contraire. Man, and I'm not talking about people that come up to this altar on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights and our Hispanic service. Man, we had a couple weeks ago, our Hispanic service, a third of the people there got filled with the Holy Spirit. Man, God's doing great things. Last Wednesday night, dozens of people got filled with the Holy Spirit. Man, I've got friends, and I don't know how they find, I'm like, how do you know? And then I'm like, oh yeah, it's on the internet. And I want to welcome everybody on the internet tonight. Let's welcome everybody. Help me welcome everybody. Everybody, I got kinfolk. I got people in Missouri that are watching tonight that God only knows they need it. But the thing about it is that people say, man, I haven't seen, man, to warm my heart, man, we're going to do that in our, I'm going to do that in our church. I'm going to give people an opportunity. We're going to do it right in front of everybody. I'm like, that's how we do things here anyway. I mean, it's not cloak and dagger. We're not asking people to what do you call that, army crawl on your belly. You're not having to get under barbed wire to get up to the altar. You might have to take a stand. People might have to see you. Man, we're not asking you to go to the rooftops and proclaim it yet, but we will. But it's disciples making disciples, making disciples, making disciples, making disciples. Man, if you're winning people to the Lord, let's take the next step and make disciples. Because I know everybody in here has got a heart for that, but it's work. It's difficult because you can't fix people. You gotta open that. They got to flip that switch in their heart to, I give my life to you, God. And I'm telling you, I was simple enough that I said, wait, I wasn't thinking about giving my life. I gave my heart to God. God, I'm giving you my heart. And then I'm giving you my life. And it's like, okay, now it's not mine to give to anything else. It's God's now. I gave my heart away. And that's healthy Christianity. That's healthy church. Okay? You got that? Okay. And so let's cover some scripture. You guys want to? How many guys love the word in here tonight? You know why I say that? Because the devil's telling you it doesn't relate to your life really. And that's just a bold-faced smack him in the mouth lie. He's a liar. Devil is a liar. Anybody say amen to that? In Luke 14, 23, and this Luke 14, the master threw a feast, the invited guests didn't come, honored invited guests didn't come. They rejected his invitation, and so he said, "Okay, let's invite some other folk." And there was still room in his house, and it was infuriating. He was saying, "Hey, invite this, invite this, invite." Finally, the third time, he just said, "That's it. Throw the doors open. Go to the highways and the hedges." In verse 23, and compel them in that my house may be full. This is a prime scripture, a primary scripture in my heart. If you want to know what I'm thinking about morning, noon, and night, I'm thinking about filling this dadgum house. That's all that I'm telling you, I am eaten up with it. And you'll say, well, yeah, you preachers just care about numbers. Okay, guilty. Oh, it's a bunch of ego. Well, maybe it is. But I'm just telling you, I could see past my ego to get to Luke 14, 23, where the master's finally just, he's throwing down and saying, hey, fill the house. Let's just get it full. There's too many desperate, hurting people out there for his house not to be full. And I'm telling you, I'm not thinking about Sundays here. And I'm not thinking about preaching to the choir on Wednesdays here. My dream for church is that it's 7 days a week. We got church every day. I'm telling you, there's people that work the swing shift that can't come in the evenings and may not be able to come on Sundays, where we might have to work, have church. It's funny because people will say, well, tell me about your weekend services. And I'll say, well, it starts on Friday morning at 10 o'clock. They go, well, Friday. And I'd say Friday morning at 10. And they'd say, man, who would come Friday? That's cool. You have a Friday night service. I said, we don't have a Friday night service. I'm in bed by 10 on Friday night. Unless we're going wild, huh, Sandy? Unless we're like we're partying or maybe a late movie, but late dinner, bingo parlor or something. We're going, we don't go to the bingo parlor. Fill the house, fill the, but it's got to be compelling. And I'll tell you what it's got to be. We've got to have a passion for this. You've got to be eaten up with it because that's where we get the word compassion. And in our society today, compassion wins. It's not about social justice. Jesus didn't die on the cross for social justices. He went to the passion that he had for the purpose of his life is what took him to the cross. Man, what was that? It was redemption. It was ushering in the kingdom. It was tearing that veil. Man, it was getting people the saving knowledge that God brought in his name. And so we got to, so it's all about, number one, it's to fill the house. Number two, and listen, and I'm not talking about for my sake or the ministry's sake. I'm talking about for you, for your purpose. This is the only way you find your purpose. Otherwise, it just gets on you or around you. You can wear the right clothes, but you want to get it in you. How many guys want to get this in you? I'm not kidding. You want to get it in you to where it's in your DNA, to where your kids grow up honoring God, where the favor of God's on your kids. The favor of God's on their kids and their kids. Man, that's what legacy is having the favor of God where it's not just, well, it's just raining, because that storm is building. Man, we get people in God's house. Why? So we can build a foundation, help them build a foundation in their life. So those who are planted on the rock, guess what? That storm's going to vehemently beat against that house and nothing's going to happen. Write that down. Nothing's going to happen. The Bible promises no evil shall befall you nor any plague come near where you live. In Matthew 28, verse 19, Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Make disciples of every skin color, of every creed, of every religion, every culture that's out there, every race. Man, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That baptizing is not water. We're immersing them in God. We're immersing them in His Holy Spirit. We're immersing them in Jesus. Man, how many of you guys are believing God? Your kids are immersed in Jesus. Man, that's what we are too. Man, we want to team up with you. Man, all of that stuff matters. Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of this age, even through all your stuff. Amen. So number two, disciples, making disciples. Wherever you want to stop, and just put the three dots. The three dots mean it just goes on to perpetuity. It goes on until we win the world to Jesus. That's how we win the world to Jesus. It's not, well, you know, we're just going to have the doors open and the lights on and we're going to welcome them in. No, we've got to compel them in. We've got to have an enthusiasm and a passion. When I lose my passion, stop coming. Go somewhere you can find the passion. When there's not enthusiasm, if there's not passion and enthusiasm on this stage during the music, I'll tell you what, I don't care what songs they're singing or playing. They glorify God. I want them to sing the name Jesus once in a while, but I want them to do it passionately and enthusiastically and everything they do to lift the room. How many of you guys are ready for your lives to be lifted? Can I see your hands? Well, you know what? It's not doom and gloom here. I'm telling you, there's bad news heading your way. I got good news. God has already overcome it. It's just coming deceptively to your life. Deceptively to your life, whatever you're worried about. Man, I said this Sunday, and a reality of my life is everything I've worried about, science will say between 80 and 90% of it's not going to happen. You know what I realize now? Everything I worry about doesn't ever happen. Because you know what? Man, God arrests my spirit, arrests my heart. Man, He puts my heart on lockdown and won't let me worry about that stuff. And once you stop worrying about it, guess what? It loses its steam. See, it's just like the media. Man, that media cycles like this. But it takes two to tango. Write that down. I'm not kidding you. It ought to be the title of a message. Why don't you guys prepare a message? Sean, write a book. It takes two to tango. Man, I'll tell you, Sean had a collision, a car versus a moped. Sean was on the moped. I don't know. It's really bad. He may never fill in the blank. And you know what? No one went up there bought into that. There wasn't a lick of worry. I didn't have, and Sean can tell you, I didn't have a bit of worry about it at all. You know why? I preached that night. I heard about the accident. I went to the emergency room. When I walked in the emergency room, I saw the cop. The cop was crying. The cop was leaving. The cop felt so sorry for us. And I said, God, I need a word. And God, the word God gave me for Sean was his latter days would be greater than his former days. I thought, what the heck? That's pretty good news when you're laying up in an ICU room, huh? Yeah. I said, huh? Yeah. I said, dadgum, huh? Quit messing with me. I'm not kidding you. You pull it out of me. I see angry preachers on TV all the time. Ain't nothing for me to get angry. Disciples, making disciples. And you know what? And that's at the core of our internship. That's at the core of everything. That's at the core of why we give you an opportunity to serve. Oh, would you like to come out and work in our parking lot? Oh, that's perfect for me. That's made to order for me. I love the inclement weather out there where I get to put on clothes and people, I don't even mind when they bump me with that big bullhorn bumper on the front of their truck. They bump me once in a while and don't even notice it. They send me out of the way. Man, they treat me like a peasant. I love, that's a perfect place for me. No, what does that bring to your life? It brings a discipline. You got to serve. And if you work in the parking lot, guess when you have to be here? You got to be here early. Know what? You can't go to the coffee bar. Coffee bar's closed by the time you're done out there. Yeah, guilt is what I'm using right now. It's what you're feeling right now. Some of you guys are thinking, I just need to get saved. I'm telling you, every man in this room ought to be begging to work in that parking lot. You know why? It's an entry-level place for people to serve in the church. Number one, not very many people want to do it. Number two, it's an entry-level place to serve in the church. Yeah, you know what? I could get up here and I could probably get 50 women that'll say, man, I want to serve in the parking lot on Sunday. I'm not asking that. I'm asking for fellas. Why? People don't want to. You got to be here early. It's pretty thankless. Once in a while, you'll get an attaboy from somebody. You get to wear one of those gosh darn awful lime green vests. You get a little token flashlight that blinks. You're waving people. They're ignoring you. But you know what? And there's guys that's an entry-level place for them to begin to serve in God's house. And all they've got to do is see someone. Everybody say someone.
Someone.
One. That's all they've got to see. One person that loves what they're doing out there. They look at it and go, man, it is odd. I think that guy loves doing what he's doing out in this parking lot. I just did it because I felt guilty. And you know what? It changes a life. It changes a heart. It dials things in. Man, I just see this over and over. And Chris, I watched you just get dialed into God. Just get dialed in. Now, you know how close you are to the purpose of God in your life? You know why? Because you just kept getting dialed in. Just kept getting dialed in. But now, guess what? When you get as close as Chris is to the purpose of his life, as close as you are to the purpose of your life, now you turn and you begin to dial other guys in. And you'll say, well, how many people can I disciple? I don't know. How many can you? Because what Jethro told Moses, you got to find guys that could oversee 10, 50, 100, and 1,000. And let me just tell you, you want fulfillment in life? Money is never going to do it. Likes and followers is never going to do it. You know what's going to do it? The purpose of God in your life. Disciplining yourself to be discipled. And let me just tell you, the Holy Spirit begins to speak in your life, and your outlook, your view of God, it's like you have a pipeline with the Father. I dream of that for everybody in here. In the first chapter of Acts, and Jesus said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the season for which the Father's put in my authority. He said, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then he said something that should change your life, and you'll receive power to be my witness, my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Do you understand? Like my opening statement today was, we've got too many caged eagles. We need people that can soar at such a height that we can reach the uttermost parts of the earth, that we could get to the end of the earth. So number three tonight, if you're taking notes, which you should be, live this great life in front of people. Live it so, not cheesy or dramatic, but just so real that your life preaches. And everybody's heard of Francis of Assisi said, you know, I preach all the time and sometimes I even speak. Yeah, you know what? That's great. But I'm just telling you, your life, not just your words, your life has to preach. And let me just tell you, is your life a witness? You know, if we go through this, you know, the first one was fill the house. Are you filling the house? Well, you know, I've asked a couple people in the last few years. You know, people say no, they got other things to do. Yeah, when people say no, let me explain something to you about church. Let me tell you something about the Word of God. Let me tell you something about this platform when people are preaching. Okay, there's an authority in it. No doesn't mean no. No means not yet. Hey, I want to invite you to church. I'll pick you up. No. Okay. You know what? You may do it the next week. You may wait a couple weeks. Go, hey, I want to invite you to church. I'm bringing you to church Sunday, okay? And you know what? I'm going to even buy lunch afterwards. No. No doesn't mean no. No means not yet. Let me just tell you, the next storm that hits that guy's house, I'll just tell you this. There was a time, there was one night, it was like my second or third night of preaching on the street. And I was out till 2 or 3 in the morning. I was single at that time, and I'm going home, and I laid my head on my pillow, and I'm like, God, I just hope this makes an impact in people's lives. And I prayed for a lot of drunk people, because at that time, it was on a weekend. At that time of night, a lot of people are inebriated. So I prayed for drunk people. People laughed at us. People, you know, they mocked us. They're like, what are you doing? This isn't a church house. You know, this is a parking lot of a bar. And, you know, it didn't faze us. You know, to me, it just fueled me. You know, it just made me do it more, maybe do it. And so I laid my head on my pillow, and God gave me a vision of one of the guys I prayed for that night waking up the next morning. And he opened his eyes, and the first thing he thought of was, wait a minute, did I pray with somebody last night? And I'll tell you, it's changed my life, my whole outlook. Man, God just gave me that vision in my heart of that guy doing that. And I just thought, man, there's something to this. And let me just tell you, it's another discipline thing. It's another one of those things where, yeah, I know that it's not everybody's personality, but I'll tell you, we still have to be compelling. We got to fill his house. Fill his house, that my house may be full. Are you doing it? Well, how would you grade yourself? And the second one is disciples, making disciples, making disciples. What's your lineage or your heritage in the kingdom? Who have you discipled that's discipling people? See, that's how we multiply this. We could add a service on Sunday and add some people. But you know what? We can't just be adding people. We've got to be reproducing disciples. And in that reproduction, we're going to be adding people. But I'll tell you what, as that reproduction gets in our DNA, we'll start multiplying people. And I think that's huge. I think that's how God thinks. God doesn't think just adding. I think God thinks of multiplication. Live this life in front of people. And finally, Mark 16:15, and Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. And there again is that baptism. I'm telling you, that's not water. That's be immersed in everything about God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. His word. He believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who doesn't believe will be condemned. Number four, we have to preach the word everywhere. I'll tell you what hit me recently. I'm called a chaplain to football programs. I have been for the last, I don't remember how many, even before we came to Tulsa. I'd be introduced. The coach would say, this is Bill Shear, our chaplain. Todd Graham, you say, this is Bill Shear. He's our pastor. Okay? And I thought about this. I thought, I never got paid. It wasn't a full-time deal. I didn't have an office. At the University of Tulsa, they tried to give me an office. I said, I don't need an office. What do I need an office for? I'll just talk to people in their office. I'll talk in the locker room. I'll talk in the field. I don't need an office. I don't go to my office here. Why would I go to my office? Why would I need another office? I'm office rich already. I don't know what to do with all the office I have. But I thought about this. I thought, man, if football teams, if sheriff's departments have chaplains, police departments have chaplains, the military has chaplains, why didn't your business have a chaplain? Why don't you? I'm just saying. I want to write a book. I say that. I've said that for a long, long time. I've even written some books. They're not books, they're manuscripts, they're never published. Some of them are like responses of other people's books that I could either fly to where they live and punch them in the mouth, or I could just write a book. So I wrote a book, because, you know, but I want to write a book, and it's just release the beast. And because we spend all this time feeding the beast. We feed the beast, 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 we feed the beast. And next thing you know, that bell goes off and that gate comes open and that beast comes out of that gate. And I'll tell you, I think the world would take notice. How many disciples in this church, if we release the beast, could win this city to Jesus? A couple hundred, 250, 300? How many would you need, Jeremy, to win the Tulsa area to Jesus? Just win them. And I'm not saying go and say, hey, pray with me. Hey, repeat this with me. I'm saying where it's like, hey, pray with me, repeat this with me. Now get in dadgum line, let's go. That's all Jesus did with Matthew. Do you know that? He looked up, he saw Matthew seeing the entourage walk by and knowing, and I promise you, Jesus overheard some of those business guys who were already selected as disciples, that he heard them saying, well, there's Matthew, I hate his guts. He's a tax collector. He's been ripping us off for years. And now we're with Jesus. It's going to overthrow this government. That's what those guys were thinking at that time. And right in the middle of them thinking that, Jesus looked over at that tax collector's office and said, hey, you. Little Matthew looked back at him and said, yeah. He goes, you want to follow too? You just hook it up. Let's go. He came off those steps, off that porch, and he got in line. Peter's like, what the heck? Are you kidding me? Passion and enthusiasm. Zeal for his house. What, to fill it? What was number two? To disciple, 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 make disciples who make disciples and make disciples and make disciples. What was number three? Your life's got to preach. Man, how can you do that without enthusiasm? See, when I'm saying this, we're not selling. I don't think I'd be a very good salesman. I'm just sold. I'm a soldsman. I'm not a salesman. I'm in. And I know the only way for me to be fulfilled is not to just be satisfied with being in. I got to get you in. I got to get you in. It matters to me. It matters to Sandy, probably even more than me. After doing this all these years, when people slide out or slip off the path or roll into the ditch, it grieves her. I have to live with her. I'm like, Miss Sandy, I'm not with these guys in their life to make decisions. But still, see, I believe that's that agape. I've run out of points. I preach the word. Now, what are you going to do with it? It's four simple points. Four. Sunday's going to shock you. Isn't it, Joel? I still Joel my notes. Isn't it, Taylor? One verse. It's going to shock you. You probably never read it, but have you ever read it before? No. And even if you read it, it's one of those you skim by. It's going to shock you. If it doesn't, I'll give you $100. Anybody in here, if it doesn't shock you Sunday, you just come up to me, I'll give you $100. I'll give you a $100 bill. If it doesn't shock you. How about that?